Today, in these few moments with the book, I wish to draw largely from the writings of the Apostle Paul in order to present the marvelous truth of the eternal salvation that every believer in Christ possesses. What holy confidence Paul expresses in his words to Timothy in the second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 12, and I quote, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Notice his personal conviction. I know. Let me ask, do you know? He doesn't say, I hope. No. Here is divine certainty. And then he goes on to say, and am persuaded. And this is of divine persuasion. This is not simply human imagination or wishful thinking. This is persuasion based upon the truth of God. And what is he persuaded about? He is able. God is able. Christ is able. This is divine power. What is he able to do? He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What is this but divine security? Now, writing to the Romans in chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, Paul also affirms concerning Abraham what was true of himself. And I quote, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Beloved listening friend, this is faith that takes God at his word, that is able to speak in this manner. Oh, let me present this Savior God to you today. And he's presented in his holy word, his infallible word, his unerring word, the revelation of himself. And through that word, he speaks today in order to impart certainty as to the eternal salvation that he bestows by his grace to all who will repent and receive his Son by faith. Have you done so? Oh, it is our desire today, and it's the purpose of these Moments with a Book broadcast, to present God and his word, the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, the Bible, as the basis for your faith, for your safety, for your certainty, and for your enjoyment. Now, in the 8th chapter of Romans, we find Paul is speaking, as led of the Spirit of God, of course, on this wonderful subject of the eternal salvation of the believer. It opens with the grand declaration, and I quote, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," verse 1. And this chapter closes with an equally emphatic declaration of no separation from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in verse 39. So the chapter begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. But let me seek to make it clear as to whom it is said that there is now no condemnation and no separation. You will notice that it says them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, those who are in Christ Jesus are those who have received from him through new birth a divine life, divine nature. For to be in Christ is to be identified with him in all that he is. Now, this is true of every believer. Every believer is in Christ. It speaks of blessed security. And you'll notice that when the Lord Jesus speaks of condemnation, he tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe in Christ, and he that believeth is not condemned. John's Gospel 3:18. But I would remind you that if you have not put your personal trust in him, he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, this is the condition of everyone who has not put personal faith in Christ. But Paul in Romans is writing to those who have done so, who have been justified by faith, who have believed in Christ, who have accepted him as personal Savior. And it is of them that he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. They are in Christ Jesus. Now, in delivering an address on the eternal security of the believer, a servant of the Lord quoted the closing verses of the 8th chapter of Romans in proof that creation above and beneath, past and future, was challenged to produce anything which could separate believers from God's love. At the close of the service, a friend remarked, quote, I can tell you something not named in these verses which will certainly separate you from God's love. In surprise, the servant of the Lord asked, well, what is that? And the answer was promptly given, sin. Well, once more, the servant of the Lord read the precious words, for I am persuadeth that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll notice sin is not named, of course, but sin is surely included in the expression, the things present. For the Apostle Paul says in 7:21 of Romans, evil is present with me, unquote. And thus, we regard, dear listening friend, these verses, the end of Romans, as conclusively proving the ever-abiding security of every believer in Christ Jesus. Nothing can snatch you from the grasp of Christ, because Matthew 28 says that all power is given unto him. And in Revelation 1:8, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Almighty. And he is the one who saves forever them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. Going back to the Old Testament typology for just a couple of instances. In Isaiah 49:16, we read that the believer is engraved upon the hands, the palms of the hands of the Redeemer. In Exodus 28, we read of the breastplate and the shoulder pieces of the high priest's garment. And these contain the names of God's people. And just so, our blessed great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, carries every one of his own upon his heart that is on the breastplate, the heart of his love, and upon his shoulders that which speaks of divine power and strength. And hence, from these pictures of the types of the Old Testament, we have confirmed to us the marvelous truth of Romans 8. Hence, his hold of his hands, his love of his heart, and his power of his shoulders will lose none of his own. And Jesus himself asserts this in John 6:39, where he speaks, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Think of it. Did you ever think of this, that the believer in Christ is God's love gift to the Son? And the Son of God says, I will lose nothing. And then he assures that should death come in, he says, I will raise him up at the last day. And so, dear friend, we consider from these types and draw from the Lord's own words what is further developed by Paul in this 8th chapter of Romans. Most marvelous chapter. If you have your Bible, if you'll open to verse 28, a verse that is used by the people of God, and rightly so, may we use it more. We do know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I want you to notice what we have here. It's a word directed to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the believer. Will you stop this moment if you're not a believer and put your trust in Christ right now? You may. He died for you and rose again. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. He will receive you. And you must come to him. And he knows you. And here we have a chain of 5 golden links that cannot be broken one from another. They stand in God's purpose from eternity. They dip down to earth in time. And they reach up to eternity in the future. In eternity past, we have his foreknowledge, which involves his choice, his election. And then we have his predestination, which concerns the blessing of those whom he has called. And that is that those who are saved, called according to his purpose, are going to be conformed to the image of his Son. The blessed Lord Jesus in heaven, as man gone there now, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, the man in the glory is the head of new creation. He has the first place among many brethren. And everyone who has trusted him, who is in Christ Jesus, is linked to him and partakes of his life and his nature. And he is the firstborn, the first place. We who trust him are eternally linked with him. Now, how is this brought about? It's brought about through divine calling. Whom he did predestinate, whom he did mark out beforehand for blessing, them he called. And then we read, them that he called, he justified. To be justified means to be cleared from all charges of guilt. The Epistle of Romans has been taking up this theme in previous chapters. Justified by his blood, by his grace. This is what occurs when the believer takes him as Savior, justified from all things. God justifies the sinner, calls him not guilty on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Friend, is not this wonderful? What we're getting here is salvation from God's viewpoint, from his sovereignty. Here we have salvation beginning in God's eternal purpose, in the glory of the eternity past, being brought down to us through the work of Calvary, and through accepting Christ as Savior, we are justified. And then we read that those who are justified, them he also glorified. In God's sight, the believer is seen as already glorified. Now, of course, we're not glorified yet, actually. We wait the experience that the coming of Christ, when he shall come to the air and take his own to be with himself, then we shall receive bodies like unto his own. The dead will be raised and receive a body like Christ. The living, who are living at the time of Christ's coming, will be changed. But we shall be glorified. This is what we wait for. But in God's purpose, I say, we see salvation here as one chain of 5 golden links. You cannot separate the one from the other. Predestinated in the past and glorified in the future. And in the meantime, here in between, right now, in time, both called and justified. This is what is true of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here there is absolutely no peradventure. The infallible salvation of all believers is thus divinely secured, and no power of man or Satan can break any one of these five golden links. So absolutely certain is the divine result of God's eternal counsel respecting each believer that it is spoken of, and I repeat, as already accomplished. Them he also glorified. I want you to consider this, dear believer. I wish that you will turn to these scriptures to see salvation from God's viewpoint. Now, our imperfect state and our weakness is not taken into account at all in this passage, in this divine assertion of our eternal security. What shall we then say to these things? Verse 31, asked Paul, and then the statement, if God be for us, who can be against us? Ah, friend, God is for us. And then he goes on to say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. This is what God has done, that we might be brought to him according to his eternal purpose. Then how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And if God justifies an ungodly sinner, he does it righteously on the basis of the finished work of Christ. Who is it that will condemn one then who is a believer in Jesus? Why, how can anyone condemn that which Christ has done? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And based on this, God's election, Christ's work, we see the believer safe and secure according to God's purpose. And based on this, then we read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then we read here, neither height nor depth nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Are you acquainted with the Savior? God would have you acquainted with the truth about the work that the Savior has accomplished and about the purpose that our God has concerning you, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you to read Romans chapter 8 as the truth of God for your soul. I urge you also to read Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In 2 Timothy, Paul likewise writes in the first chapter, in regards to our salvation, the salvation that became his when he accepted Christ on the way to Damascus. He says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then, this is the portion from which he makes his divine assertion of certainty and persuasion that we began our message with today. He says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Dear listening friend, with these scriptures, I close my message today, and I would simply ask that you would turn to the Bible to read for yourself and let God speak to your soul through them. I briefly mention them again. Romans chapter 8. Ephesians chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What we read here is truth. Connection with God's eternal salvation for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be that believer. The Lord Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that scripture, Romans 8, which begins with no condemnation, can be said of you. Because the moment you put your faith in him, you are in Christ Jesus. The place of identity with himself, his life, eternal life, his nature, a divine nature. And then your portion too will be an eternal salvation of no separation. The end of Romans 8. May God turn you to his word and bless these thoughts, these truths to you, every listener today, for his name's sake. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee that thou hast spoken so clearly in thy word. We thank thee for thy eternal purpose, and for bringing it into fruition by sending thy Son to give his life at Calvary for us. And we thank thee that through simple faith we are brought to thee and put in Christ Jesus, and thou dost justify us and see us now as glorified. Oh, how we long for that day when actually we shall experience this, when we shall see Christ and be with him and like him forever. May this be the portion of every listener today. May the listener who is not saved, oh, have the conviction of the Spirit, the assurance of thy love, and turn in repentance and faith to thee right now. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.